Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Call 1-800-800-MOVE or online at gapackandload.com. Wellstar Health System. More than healthcare, people care. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Oh, and a good Tuesday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable. Oh, and a good Tuesday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable. And yeah, it was luck. Come on, it's Groundhog Day. Give me a break. A little chilly outside, but nevertheless, great day coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios here in the heartbeat of Dog Nation, the Classic City, presented by Wellstar Health System, Georgia Pack and Load, and attorney Ken Nugent. And we got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit about what tomorrow used to be. It still is, of course, Wednesday, first Wednesday in February. That used to be National Signing Day. That used to be a huge thing, of course, across the landscape of college football. It has not turned out to be that way after the addition of the early signing period in December, and so things have changed up a little bit there, but still, we're going to be paying close attention tomorrow because there may be a target or two that the Dogs may be able to reel in tomorrow, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But also, I want to remind all of you that tonight, the University of Georgia basketball team will be down on the plains down in Auburn, taking on the Auburn Tigers, trying to get a little revenge from an earlier season loss here in Athens, and Georgia coming off a win on Saturday over Ole Miss, swept the Rebels, of course, for the week, but or for the season, I should say. And so with that out of the way, let's talk a little bit about National Signing Day and what it'll mean to the Georgia Bulldogs. There obviously is a target or two on the board still in high school that the Dogs would like to sign. But don't also forget that there's an opportunity to, you know, pick up some talent in the transfer portal. And, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs have been known to sneak up on us and occasionally reel one or two in there. So that's something that we'll also be paying close attention to. We're going to be joined momentarily, we hope, by Rusty Manziel from Dogs 24/7. He, by the way, will be not only here on 680 The Fan. You know Rusty's a terrific help to all of us here at 680 The Fan. But tomorrow night from 7 to 9, right here on 680 The Fan and 680 The Fan, the YouTube page, Rusty and his co-host Doug Conkle will be breaking down everything from National Signing Day. So that's something that you'll want to
You don't want to miss it. And I know they usually have a ton of guests on that show that joined them live.
Yeah,
I know,
come on.
And the December one, they had Kirby. They had the guy down on the flats, whatever.
They've changed so quickly.
I can't keep up with it. They usually get around the town and they keep up with everybody and talk to all the key contributors. Now, I don't know who they have lined up for tomorrow, but knowing those two guys, I would expect somebody.
Well, one of the things I do know is that Georgia has at least one big target on the board, and Rusty Manziel joining us now from Dogs 24/7. And Rusty, what are the odds that the Dogs reel in one tomorrow?
Oh man, Terrion Arnold is that guy right now. Don't really go anywhere without somebody asking me about him, or you know, text. It's funny, I got a text message this morning apologies if I didn't reply to you. I don't know who it was, but somebody texted me this morning at 6:23 from a number I didn't know and say, are we getting Arnold or not? You know, so that's the reason I have a job. I kind of smile at those things. And whoever texted this morning, I don't know yet. You know, Terry Arnold is the number one. He's the number two rated safety in the country on 24/7 Sports. He's a five-star prospect out of Tallahassee, Florida. I went down to South Georgia and did my South Georgia run in August and called Terry and said, hey, you working out today? I went over and watched him work out, worked out with his uncle. It's crazy. You know, 12 years I've been doing this. That was the first time I've seen a young man who worked out, and his mother worked out beside him. So it was awesome to watch, you know, a family deal. His uncle was basically training him. His mom was doing the squats and the steps with him. And just a really polished young man. But listen, with Georgia, there's no secret. The secondary is wide open. This is a major, major target for them. It's going to be down to Georgia and Alabama. I know that's surprising. But we'll find out tomorrow on ESPN. Chuck, this is truly one that right now I don't think anybody behind the scenes knows. This is going to be one to watch in the next 24 hours.
When is he announcing?
Tomorrow at 4 o'clock on ESPN. You know, and I'll have to make – we do a thing on 24/7 Sports. I'll make my prediction tonight, kind of confidence level, those types of things. But, man, if I had to pick this morning, I really don't know where I would go with this. I hear different things with him. I will tell you this. I always try to get people asking, you know, player comparison. You know, meeting him and seeing him in person, and he also plays basketball, really good basketball prospect. You know, if Georgia winds up getting him, I tell everybody, go watch his highlights. It shows his athleticism. But really, to me – personality-wise, meeting him, spend some time around him, a lot of Richard LeCount comparisons. You know, very outgoing type kid, little bit same size, 6'1", 190-pound kid. Here's the thing: I think a little different than Richard. I think Terrian's a little bit more flexible, where he could get down in the box and cover guys, maybe that nickel slot, also play safety, so he becomes that much more valuable. But you know, very outgoing, very smart, just really impressed meeting him. And whichever school gets him is getting a very good player tomorrow.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on it. It is funny, though, Rusty, when you stop and think about what the first Wednesday in February used to mean and what it means now. And I guess for some schools that have had coaching changes, it will still carry a huge weight.
Yeah, you look at South Carolina and Auburn, this will be a big deal for them tomorrow. And look, when you make a coaching change away and timing those times, I think even the most diehard fans, though, in Tennessee as well, you have to just kind of hope for the best on a signing day and let these schools get through a full, you know, a full cycle together. But you're right, Chuck. You know, 6-7 years ago, man, I'd wake up in the morning and pour two cups of coffee in each eye, and just the next thing I know, it'd be 11 p.m. because it would be crazy trying to keep up with 25 kids signing, who's flipping, all that. And, you know, a lot of people miss that kind of excitement. But for me, it was a little much, you know, trying to cover that much. I kind of like it when it's split. I don't like the timing of the December day. I think it's too close to final exams. I think it's too close to holidays to pressure these kids. Coaches are in bowl practice, but I like the way it's split now, where it's all not so much in February with that one day. It's just really hard to cover and kind of, you know, get all the ins and outs of a day like that. So the split deal for me is good. I just don't like the timing of the first one.
Talking with Rusty Manziel of Dogs 24/7 and 680 The Fan, and also with Fox 5. And Rusty, you know, you do so much in covering recruiting, and I know it's your life, you know, and you live it, breathe it, you know, 24 hours a day. But I haven't talked to you since Gunnar Stockton committed to Georgia. And I got to tell you, that kind of caught me off guard. I'm sure it didn't you, because you knew that the Dogs would be in there, you know, pitching hard. But there was still that relationship that he had with his prior commitment to Mike Bobo in South Carolina. And with Bobo going to Auburn, it just seemed that that's where he'd end up. But, boy, what a big get for Georgia.
Huge get. And listen, I talked to Gunnar, and he said that call to Mike Bobo was very difficult. You're talking about someone that he's known since he was 6 or 7 years old. Mike's dad, George Bobo, a longtime coach, you know, was a guy that coached him. And I'll tell you this, his dad, Rob Stockton, told me that Mike was all class with the decision. There wasn't any, you know, hey, you shouldn't do this or that. It was good luck to you and, you know, still love you, that type thing. So it shows a lot of class by Mike Bobo on that. But you want to talk about Kirby Smart going to get somebody. You know, Gunner, as we talked more about it, as the decision was coming out, you know, he said, look, every day I thought about I'm going to pass a chance to be a Georgia Bulldog. And I don't know if I can live with that, you know, listen to that the rest of my life, knowing I passed that up. This is a long-time Georgia Bulldog, all-time, you know, Georgia Bulldog fan. His sister's named Georgia, if I just want to tell you something. who, by the way, is a really good collegiate athlete herself. She plays basketball over in South Carolina Presbyterian. But, you know, it was just weighing on him. People asked me all week, why would he go in behind Brock Vandergrift? It was simple. He didn't want to pass up a chance to play at University of Georgia. And anytime you go to University of Georgia to play quarterback, there's going to be competition. He understands that. Both kids understand that. And I know both of these kids really, really well. They're going to compete and compete and compete. And that's what you want, best man on. You want kids that are not afraid because, you know, I heard this a long time ago and it stuck with me. Someone told me when these kids go to college, if they're lucky enough to get to the NFL, they're going to compete for their livelihood for the rest of their life. Somebody's always going to be after their job. So it might as well start in college. You can train. And basically that's what Gunner and Carson Beck as well, who gets left out of this, you know, conversation a lot, and Brock Vandergrift. These guys are going to play it out and go to the end. But I'm telling you right now, the benefit of Gunner Stockton is not only is he a major target at quarterback, there's a lot of kids in that 2022 class that want to play with Gunner Stockton, and that's very good news for the Georgia Bulldogs.
No doubt about it. And as Coach Smart likes to say, iron sharpens iron. And so absolutely, that competition will make both those young men better. Yep. You know, and if they, it tells you something about their character that they're willing to compete against each other. And that is great news for Georgia and great news for them down the road, yep, as you point out. But Rusty, yep, always appreciate your time. And again, let me remind everybody, tomorrow night, National Signing Day, and you'll be on 680 The Fan along with your co-host, Doug Conkle, from 7 to 9. Right here, 680 The Fan. You don't want to miss it. Rusty, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Rusty Mansell here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a break, come back, check in with Jake Rowe. He covers the Dogs, also for Dogs 24/7. That's next.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting right, live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Bulldog.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable, and kind of caught off guard there. I thought the man with a nice voice was going to say something else. But great to hear from Rusty Mansell this morning with, of course, National Signing Day tomorrow. And everybody will be watching 4 o'clock to see what Herrion Arnold, what his decision will be. But according to Rusty, down to Georgia and Alabama. But again, a 4- to 5-star defensive back. And that's something that is a position of need for the Dogs. And with that in mind, let's talk to another good friend. Guy that spends a lot of time with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable, and we all always appreciate it. Jake Rowe. And Jake, what do you think that the Dogs, the situation now in that secondary?
You know, listen, I'm no Rusty Mansell, okay? So, you know, that's a tough act to follow, but they would love to get Terrion Arnold. I know that. I mean, he's a multifaceted guy. I mean, he might can play all three positions back there. Four, if you count that dime money position. That's a big priority for Georgia, and they've got a lot to sell them. You know, losing the defensive backs coach there. You know, Alabama, I think, is kind of dealing with the same thing, maybe with Carl Scott. I'm not sure on that situation. But, you know, Kirby Smart, we put out a thing this morning, you know, discussing kind of all the splashes he's made on National Signing Day, some that people knew at the time, others like Eric Stokes that you didn't know until later on. It would be a big one if they were able to land Terry and Arnold, and you know that's a major priority for this staff here in the next 24 hours with a decision seemingly unmade.
Jake, the question becomes, of course, as we sit here staring at the spring, the question, how many slots, scholarships do the Dogs have available to hand out? You know, you're capped at, what is it, 85?
And
and I'm curious because, you know, you've got guys returning, you know, some that were offered to return by the NCAA that were seniors. So, I mean, how is this all going to work out?
Well, any of the seniors, any guys who were classified as seniors last year that decided to come back, they're not going to count towards that 85. And so if you're looking at Georgia's roster, you've got Justin Schaefer, Devontae Wyatt, those two won't count for sure, and they're for sure coming back. You know, I haven't heard official word on a guy like Demetrius Robertson or maybe even a guy like Walter Grant. Those guys are still maybe a little bit mysterious for us. But if they do decide to come back, if they are on the roster, then they won't have to. Then they won't count either. You got Julian Rochester as well. You know, there's some talk there that he might have decided to give up the sport. You know, no confirmation on that or anything like that. But he's a guy that, if you're ever going to have a knee injury like he had at the point in the year he had, it would be this year because he can kind of remain on scholarship, kind of bide his time, figure out whether he wants to try and give it a go again or not. You know, be under one of the best in the business in Ron Corson and getting his body back right and then make a decision later on. None of those guys will count. And with those guys not counting, my unofficial count on scholarships is Georgia has 83 players on scholarship. That gives them two spots under the 85, and that's with some likely post-spring, maybe even some pre-spring attrition there with the transfer portal. You know, some guys are going to figure out this spring where they're at, whether they're at where they want to be or not as far as the depth chart goes and whether an opportunity to play, and then they'll make a decision on that. But right now they've got two open slots under the 85.
One of the things that caught a lot of Dog fans' attention was Arik Gilbert leaving LSU and transferring to Florida in the transfer portal. You know, formerly he was a five-star tight end out of Cobb County, and everybody thought that he would end up at Georgia. What did you hear that weighed into that decision?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, you know, Florida had a big piece of land to sell them, and I mean that in the most positive way. They have that Kyle Pitts territory that they could sell them, and they could say, Arik Gilbert, this is all yours if you decide to come here. And that was a big selling point, I'm sure, for them. You know, I don't know how much this factored into it, but Georgia's going to have a hard time making promises as far as the passing game goes, because George Pickens and Jermaine Burton and Dominic Blaylock and Kyaris Jackson and Arian Smith, and you know, we're not even to the running backs yet. We're not even talking about his position yet, which is tied in to Darnell Washington and John Fitzpatrick, Brock Bowers. You know, Georgia's got a lot of talent there. And listen, I know what there are some Georgia fans out there, maybe some Auburn fans listening in the area that are kind of rolling their eyes, talent, talent this, talent that. It doesn't mean anything if you don't do anything with it. But you saw that start to kind of come to fruition late last year when JT Daniels was playing quarterback. Darnell Washington became a bigger factor. Jermaine Burton put together a near 200-yard game. George Pickens had two 100-yard games to end the year. So, you know, and then, again, that run game, Zamir White coming back, James Cook coming back. You know, it's a lot of mouths to feed there. And, you know, Arik Gilbert was a guy that, you know, there are a few of these here and there that don't ever really seem to entertain the in-state school that heavily, and for whatever reason. And I'm not faulting the guy for doing that at all. He's got to make the best decision for himself. And, you know, Georgia wasn't the pick. And, you know, it's hard to blame a big athletic freak show tight end for really liking Florida right now because of what they did with Kyle Pitts.
Well, no, I mean, you make a good point, but if you don't mind, we can still blame him. at least in late October, if that's okay. But Jake, really appreciate your time this morning, as always. Jake Rowe, he's with Dogs 24/7, covers the Dogs like none other. We really appreciate him being with us. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, shift gears, and talk a little bit about Georgia basketball. Dogs down at Auburn tonight, and that'll be a big one, of course, for Tom Crean's squad. And we'll be catching up with the guy that'll be bringing you all the action on TV tonight, Tom Hart. That's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach, and welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable, and let's get right to it. Georgia and Auburn tonight, down at Auburn, and for the Dogs, it'll be an opportunity for revenge. For Auburn, it'll be an opportunity to sweep the season series against Georgia. And joining us now, Tom Hart. You see him, you love him on the SEC Network, and right now, a busy man, I'm sure. Well, I don't know, Tom, are they – I guess you guys aren't traveling as much as you used to, are you?
That's right. We saved it. It's like jumping in a time machine. We get all this time back from being on the road. I will tackle the traffic down the stairs and into my basement and call the game with John Sunville tonight.
That's great. Well, listen, it won't be much different for those of us on radio. We'll be calling it from what we refer to as the bunker in Sanford Stadium, of all places. But that's where we call it from for radio.
I hope the heat's on over there. That's my concern for you guys. Make sure they got the thermostat turned up.
Can I just tell you something? It hasn't been in the past, so I don't really expect it to be any different tonight. We'll be bundled up. Scott Howard and I, despite the 6-foot rule, we'll be right next to each other. It's that kind of situation. But, Tom, let's talk a little bit about this SEC this year, and what an unusual year. First off, when you just look at the record of Kentucky, that tells you this is not a normal year.
No, it's been turned upside down. There are still great teams and great basketball being played, but it's not uncommon with what's going on with the rest of college basketball. You know, the blue bloods are down. It's the first time Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky haven't been ranked, I think, since the Eisenhower administration. Kansas is having a terrible year. And what all that does, in my opinion, just as a college basketball fan, is that opens the door. That opens the door to other teams that can grab the spotlight. Obviously, Gonzaga and Baylor are undefeated. They're elite. Houston's having a great season. Iowa's amazing. Illinois is a top 10 caliber team. Texas Tech had a big win last night. Loyola Chicago's really good. Drake is undefeated. So that vacuum creates an opportunity for maybe some of the other teams that we're not used to seeing and talking about to grab some of the spotlight. And the SEC is no different, because now that's Alabama, which is a 14-win team and a top-10 program, and they're probably looking at a 2-seed in the tournament and could play their way to a 1, I think, if they continue holding on to this 3-game lead in the conference.
Yeah, finish strong.
But they're having – finish strong. It cost them that they didn't get the win against Oklahoma over the weekend. But Alabama's a legit team, and if you just – swap jerseys and you just put Kentucky on the front instead of Alabama, I think they'd be getting a lot more attention. People would say, well, of course they're good and they shoot threes and they play good defense. But we're just not used to having that conversation with Alabama basketball.
You know as much about SEC basketball as anybody. And when you look at what it has done under Greg Sankey, and it appears to me that one of the things he pinpointed as he wanted improved across the board in the conference was basketball. That was seemed to be one of the sports, and he brought in a consultant for a while to try to help, and it looks like they've elevated with coaches and a number of other things that they've done to make SEC basketball better.
The number one thing that they wanted to improve was non-conference scheduling. They looked around the country and they realized that the SEC just wasn't as represented in the NCAA tournament as they should have been, and there was a year or two where it was downright embarrassing, especially, let's think about it, relative to the other sports that the SEC sponsors, right? I mean, football is obviously stands on its own. Baseball is right there from a national success perspective. Women's
no doubt.
Basketball. You can go all the way down the list, and rightly so. You just throw a sport against the wall, and they're nationally competitive, and men's basketball had fallen off. So one of the ways to improve the resume was we've got to get teams to stop playing RPI opponents at 250, 280, 300, because not only does that drag your own resume down, but then when you play a conference opponent, it doesn't help them at all. So the scheduling got improved almost overnight. This is probably 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago. And when that happened, not only did that improve the RPI and what is now the net and the metrics across the board in terms of measurement, but I think it was also a wake-up call to programs within the league who were just compiling wins against bad non-conference opponents. It was a wake-up call to those head coaches and the administrators to say, hey, we got to be better. You know, we've got to recruit better so we can win the tougher games. And I think that's been wildly successful across the board.
Tom, before I let you go, I got to get your opinion on Georgia basketball. And tell me where you think the program stands. You know, we've just picked up another win over the weekend over Ole Miss and had a win over Kentucky. And I'm just curious as to it's hard to read the team. I mean, they lose at South Carolina badly. And then you see South Carolina turn around and lose at Vandy. And it starts to make you wonder, you know, where do we stand? And give me your view.
Well, I would first of all caution anybody, and I said the same thing during football season, and I'll continue to say it until this pandemic is over. I'd caution anybody to judge a coach's job or a program's job in the midst of a national pandemic. The coaches I talk to every week, they've never been through anything like this. Their tried and true experiences that they have that have gotten them to this point are wildly ineffective right now. I mean, Frank Martin, for example, came out with a totally different defense against Georgia the other night. And he told us, he goes, I don't want to play this defense. I want to play my hard, scrambling, get in your shorts defense and make my guys work. He goes, I can't motivate them to do that. You're going to fall back and play soft man. They're unable to do what they've done for the decades to make them what they are, which is elite coaches. So what I see in Georgia overall, taking that into consideration, I know we shouldn't be grading on a curve, but I am this year. This is still a very young and relatively inexperienced team. Not only do they have eight newcomers, but I look at a guy like Xavier Wheeler, who I think is being asked to carry a lot of the load. He's not there yet, and that's fine, because guess what? He's only a sophomore. I mean, we just think, well, he played all these minutes last year. He started every game. And you start thinking about these guys like they're juniors and seniors. That's not the case. Xavier Wheeler in any other program with more talent around him, say the guy in the backcourt with them, Anthony Edwards, came back for another year, which we knew wasn't going to happen, but there'd be less pressure on him to be an offensive threat. He's a great pass first point guard who can hit the shots when he's open, but he needs some more talent around him. And I think you could say the same thing for KD Johnson. The guy only has a handful of games under his belt. They need time. This is a very young Georgia team that needs time to gel, and they were robbed of a lot of that time in the offseason and in the non-conference.
Yeah, patience is something that none of us seem to have a great deal of these days, and as you say, because of this pandemic. But, Tom, I really appreciate your time this morning. And, listen, have a great call tonight. Now, I know you're going to be toasty warm, so for that reason alone, I am very jealous.
I control not only my own thermostat in this setting, but I also control my own media meal. So if there's anyone to complain to, it'll be myself.
You're the best, Tom. Thank you so much. Tom Hart of the SEC Network here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable, and we appreciate all of you being with us today too. Jake Rowe, Rusty Mansell, they were with us, and of course National Signing Day tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's have a great Bulldog Day today, everybody.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.